Today's show is brought to you by Squarespace, the easy drag-and-drop site platform that lets you build a phenomenal-looking website. So go to squarespace.com today, snoop around a bit with your free trial, you know, see what you like. And if you like it, enter in the offer code EARTH. Buy a plan with our special 10% off discount to our listeners. That's squarespace.com, offer code EARTH, E-A-R-T-H. I knew how to spell it. Hello, everybody, and a quick announcement to everyone in New York. If you're coming out to our live show this Thursday, June 27th, at Subculture, our 7:30 show is Over the Top, and our 10 p.m. show is Demolition Man. All right, just a brief announcement about today's show. It was shot in front of a live studio audience. Shot, recorded. And because it was in front of a live audience, sometimes we talk about things that are visual. I try to get in here and make it as easy for you, the podcast listener, as I can. But there might be moments where you might be confused. So please bear with us.
It's the classic story of girl meets a duck from another planet, and they fall in love, save the world, and stop an interdimensional demon. Or as I like to call it, definitive proof that George Lucas had a raging coke habit in the 80s. We saw Howard the Duck, so you know what that means. Now it's time for Howard the
Mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Largo! So how did this get made live? We are doing it here in Largo. This is our live LA home. So please welcome my two co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas. June Diane Raphael.
All right.
And our very special guest tonight, Kristen Shaw.
Wow, wow, wow.
Relax.
Very excited audience. Well, this,
Fun.
Guys, Howard the Duck. What? I mean, all I know is this. I was not allowed to see this movie as a child because my parents thought it was too adult because there were some duck boobies in it.
Sure, right off the bat.
Yeah.
I feel like that must have created a lot of really fucked up fetishes for kids.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If you, you know, you can't see this at home, but I'll put it online. These are the duck boobies I'm referring to.
Yeah! I will say this, though. That is a very bad duck titty job. Like, those are... There's no way those are real. No way.
What's weird, thinking back to this, later on we learn that, like, ducks are in the process of evolving to humans, right?
No, not evolve. They've already evolved.
No, they're evolved. Wait a second. Hang on.
Wait, you think that ducks are going to become human beings?
Hey, are you...
Back.
The ducks?
No. No.
Do you think that this is a stop in the evolution that is eventually going to lead towards humans?
Well, like, yeah. It goes from duck to gorilla to us.
Well, didn't Wait Tim Robbins what? Say that we came from apes?
Right, monkeys. And yes. They came from ducks.
But they're advanced ducks.
No, right, but eventually they'll look like us?
No!
No, they're on their own planet. And that there's no humans on that planet.
Wait.
You get
when?
It?
How long do you think until that turns into us?
I don't know.
Because they already have...
They still look like everything. Ducks, I know that.
But they are at the same evolutionary step that we are. Right?
They're just ducks. like, Chris was saying, they have evolved. Like, we have evolved. They are just human ducks
now.
Yeah.
So evolution... Oh, my God. So we're off to... immediately. Down the rabbit hole of insanity. I love this.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's another planet that could be advanced ducks. Get it?
Right.
But it's another planet.
But here's where I'm confused. Yes. But fine, but when I look at her, I see human breasts.
No, no, you don't. You don't. I assure you, you don't. You see duck breasts. Then you see some sweet, sweet duck titties.
I guess what they're hypothesizing is as they became upright, their boobs came in? I don't know that. You are right. The human boobs are tricky.
What I'm saying, and later on they...
Well, Tim Robbins says, like, when the evolutionary chart is basically from duck to, you know,
duck?
Upright duck with arms, not wings. You know, like Cro-Magnon duck, blah, blah, blah. They have all the evolutionary steps.
And my question is, when will they be us?
That's
I think Jude is hung up because the duck's beautiful breasts do resemble our beautiful breasts. But the thing about breasts is they're so gorgeous that they are the highest level of evolution for all life forms. So...
Things only evolved to get them titties.
I will say to June's point that, you know, we've evolved from apes, and apes have a chest that is similar to breasts.
Yes.
And that's where your confusion is.
Yeah. But that's why my theory.
Which I agree with.
Perfect. Yes.
I think they just.
This is not the point that we should be arguing about this film.
No, no.
We this have is to what just we need accept to dig into. That there are human ducks on another planet.
That are, but the craziest thing is, on their planet, ducks have evolved into the primary life form, like the primary sentient life form, and have like direct analogs to everything we have.
No, but this is what drove me nuts, because I hate this. It's like he has a poster from My Little Chickadee, which is like, and it's like starring Mae Nest and W.C.
Fowl.
We aren't like that. It's not like May Human and W.C. Person.
No, this movie is a vehicle for duck puns. Like, that's all it is.
Well, like, oh, Willy
point,
Waddle is here.
And if Howard's last name is Duck.
Right.
All
Wait, but is it?
Yes.
Is
it? He has mail.
Don't yell at me. Hey. Hey. Shut it.
Whoa.
He is Howard T.
That's it. You're right.
So it's
okay.
Everybody's last name Duck.
That is a tricky one.
That you could, I guess you could presume that.
Well, I mean, if I could get my hands on a phone book.
I know.
I'd let you know.
I know for sure there is somebody named Willy Waddle and Mae Nest and W.C. Fowl.
True.
So we know
true.
That.
Yeah.
So I guess not
so
everyone.
Why does he get like such supremacy? Like his name gets to be like the entirety of his species or whatever.
Well, maybe his name is like White, like the name
like
White
Smith.
Here. Or
is this
or...
a race thing now?
Could be.
Notice we
Could
didn't be. See any black ducks.
That's a good point.
I didn't see any.
Did
black...
anybody else notice that? Just a planet of white ducks.
He flew through the apartment building. And there were no black ducks,
right?
Actually, I think when he was watching TV at one point, there was a black duck. There was a black
there
duck.
There was?
Yeah.
You fucking weirdos.
Yes, there are a lot of duck puns. They shop at Blooming Duck. He's a master of quack foo.
Fast forward, but then when he gets to planet Earth, he doesn't know what pizza is.
Yes.
That is weird.
Well, this is a huge... There are huge inconsistencies because sometimes people see him and are terrified as if a monster is in their presence. And sometimes people see him and are like, what are you in such a rush for, pal? Which is, as far as I can tell, inexplicable.
Other times people make such a leap, they go, oh, you're a child and you're in a Halloween costume. I'm cool with this.
Yes.
What?
Yep.
How did you jump that many steps?
And every one of them has to say, what a good costume it is. It's really amazing.
I don't know if this movie was made for children or adults. It feels like a very...
Look at... This movie was not made for children. There is a boozy birdie housewife like having a glass of Chardonnay with her tits hanging out, diddling herself in the bath. Like, guess what this isn't for?
Yeah, that's...
Fourth graders.
That's
guess what it is for?
It
My
so...
spank bank.
That's what's so weird, too, because the humor is so bad. I mean, this was scary. When I watched this, I was 9 years old, and I thought this was the best movie I'd ever seen in my life. And now I'm like, did I just have reverse Flowers for Algernon or what? Not to say I'm a genius, but I'm a lot smarter than this movie. And that's what's weird, too, is when Leah Thompson starts to, like, seduce him, I just love the direction. It's like, because she must have thought she was in a children's movie. You know,
yes.
It's been so confused. It's like, now
and
you're going to, like, hang your tits in front of Howard. And she's like, but this is a children's movie, right?
Yeah,
like,
but
yeah,
you got to, like...
Yeah, now put your tits in front of Howard. You know? Yeah.
Like, she crawls around in underwear and a
bra.
She looks good.
Damn good, too. She is hot, man. She is
Leah
top
Thompson is in top form here.
She is.
This is the Leah Thompson I would want to fuck. Hands down.
Yeah.
Somebody
that and that. WTF.
Yeah, that and older Mrs. McFly.
The Irish Mrs. McFly in Back to the Future 3, or the one in number 2, the older McFly?
No, like regular mom aged, not when she's young and in high
85
school.
85 McFly.
Yeah.
All right, good. Glad we got some clarification. Well, I mean, basically, just even Howard meets the very hot Leah Thompson in the middle of a rape attack, right?
Yep, apparently.
Dude, walking home and getting raped.
I love movie representations of punks. You know, they've got, like, crazy colors and wild hair, and they're like, oh, we're going to rape you now. Like,
they're also like the most during that time, too, where you're like, are these supposed to be teenagers that are just played by 40-year-olds? Or did teenagers look like 40-year-olds back then? Like, it's very
Yeah, teenagers
strange.
Did look like 40-year-olds back then. And teenagers now look like 11-year-olds.
And there was one weird moment, too, where one of the punks said, oh, you're all high on toot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It was toot.
And you're a real snot nose.
And I... Yeah, they wouldn't cuss, too. And then there was also the Satan sluts, which is totally redundant.
Yeah. And it's also, they're also kind of hair metal-y a little bit.
There's a lot of, like, almost punk in here. It's like, they're like, punk is a thing. But the music is like, hey, we're playing music on our guitar.
The music is like...
We like it. I thought for a little bit, I was like, is this... either a sequel or a prequel to Some Kind of Wonderful. Because I didn't know. Did she break apart from that band and now she's living in Cleveland?
Wait, she didn't play in the band. That was...
That's Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah. Oh, is she not
she
in that movie?
Drummer.
No,
she's
in that movie.
Oh, but she's not
the
drummer.
Wonderful. She's the Some Kind of Wonderful.
I got it.
Or is it Mary, you know?
Wow.
It's obviously
let's not
Mary.
I mean, I think John Hughes would tell you that he did that movie in an effort to right the wrong he felt he made in making her not choose Ducky in Pretty in Pink. And so he made Some Kind of Wonderful so that they would choose the right person.
And then Leah Thompson ended up marrying the director of Some Kind of Wonderful.
Holy
shit. They have two kids.
Holy. Wow. True love wins. This is for you, bride.
And now,
true love wins.
And now Leah Thompson often sits in a bath with a martini glass and diddles herself.
Diddles herself.
Just like this duck.
What's so weird about the movie, though, is that the relationship between Leah and Howard, it does seem like she wants to have sex with him.
Yeah. Should we play the seduction scene?
Yes, please.
Let's get right to it. Yeah.
But, Paul,
yes.
When we're done with it, could that remain the image that stays... Could duck titties be the image that is there for the rest of the show?
Yeah, of course.
Guys, this is already for like a porno still. Like, if I saw that thumbnail on a page, I'd click on it.
Also, Leah Thompson, like, after I watched it, I was like, oh, how did she get involved with this? Did she have a contract? She auditioned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and there are many people who auditioned. Tori Amos.
What?
Was supposed to be this part. Tori Amos.
Was supposed to?
Well, she auditioned for it.
That's amazing.
Yes. I would like to see Howard the Duck starring Tori Amos. So this is a longer clip than we normally play, but I
feel like
find
the scene would have been more erotic with Tori Amos.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
She breastfed a pig.
You think I might find happiness in the animal kingdom, Ducky?
Like they say, Dal, love's strange. We could always give it a try.
Okay. Let's go for it, Mr.
This is happening.
What do you mean? Okay,
It was a joke. Listen, I'm pretty tired.
It's just that you're so incredibly soft and cuddly.
Beth, let's be realistic. I mean, my apartment's zillions of miles from here. You're 3 feet taller than I am.
Oh, oh, oh. I just can't resist your intense animal magnetism.
Feather boner.
Whoops. Anyway, where will it all lead? Marriage, kids, a house in the suburbs?
Let's just face it. It's fate.
What?
No, it's not. I've got a headache.
And I got the aspirin.
Be gentle.
Just one good night kiss, sweet ducky. Come on, Howard. I was just kidding.
What? Just, no, you weren't kidding.
Come on, just Howard. Kidding. Come on, Howard. Just kidding. Nope.
You are not kidding.
You are wet for foul.
Well, yeah. Can we
There's
just
so many
that
questions.
Whole scene?
It's like, what is she doing? I don't know. But also, what's happening to him?
Oh, okay. So that I read some trivia on those duck feathers on top when they came up. I guess it took like 2 months to figure
yes.
out. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But why is he freaking out about this?
Sorry, we shared a moment. We shared a moment.
Sorry,
we know.
So the duck costumes, which are really, actually, I think they're really impressive. In fact, the whole art of this movie, in my opinion, is very good. Like, it looks gorgeous. So the colors, the lighting, and Duck Howard the Duck looks great. But they had to like improve his costume over time.
Well, Howard the Duck's head also changes based on whether he's a
True.
Puppet. Or a midget
True.
Is inside of him. So
that's
Howard the Duck throughout the movie is very different. There's like 8 Howard the Ducks.
Yeah, but I applaud them for
sure.
1986.
Of
you
course,
know?
Yeah.
And anyway, so getting those feathers to rise, it just took like weeks and weeks of hard labor to get it right.
Which seems like the easiest thing. Like
yeah.
you just attach some string and
yeah,
boom, blow it.
It's like a fishing wire, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, give me a job, George Lucas. God damn it. Can we show the beginning of this movie? Speaking of George Lucas.
Yes.
So George Lucas just did Return of the Jedi 2 years prior. Okay, this movie came out in 1986. And George Lucas decides, you know what, I want to change it up. I want to show up that I can do something else. I can break out of
By the
out
way,
of this genre.
So, flawless George Lucas impression. Like,
I know.
Flawless.
I know. And so if you look, this is the first thing you see of
I'm
George Lucas trying something new.
Can I show you the screenshot? I just have the screenshot.
Okay, yeah. So this is, there it is.
That's it.
The 2 minutes from Tatooine. Like, you can't even, like, for
it's,
a second.
I when I saw these 2 moons over the city, I was like.
It's like, we get it.
Is Luke looking at the Howard the Duck planet?
Yeah. That's.
And Howard the Duck is looking at the... It's a way to tie them all together in a Chris Nolan kind of
yeah.
all my movies are one.
Yep.
That crossover event. But that, like what... Like the Ewoks might as well be Howard the Ducks. Like,
yeah.
it might as well be a planet of Howard the Duckses.
Well, guys, I also want to just say that we should just...
Howard
here,
the Ducks
take a moment
right?
and say, this is the first ever Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This
Howard
is,
the Duck is a Marvel Comics character.
Yes, the first ever Marvel movie is Howard the Duck.
Yes.
And in the comic, he's a very foul-mouthed,
oh, okay.
you know, like...
Foul-mouthed?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh. It's catching on.
Oh, shit.
It's catching
oh,
on.
Oh, shit. That's just the kind of comedy we're doing on How Did This Get Made?
We got a lot more duck puns. There's so much weird trivia with this movie. Basically, it was supposed to be animated, but due to a contractual obligation that George Lucas had with a studio, he needed to make a live action movie. So he's like, oh, yeah, fuck it, we'll make it live action. And he was kind of bankrupt at the time, and so he was like, oh, well, this is gonna make me millions. And clearly it didn't. And so he went more into bankruptcy, at which point he sold part of his Lucasfilm ILM to Steve Jobs, and that became Pixar. So Howard the Duck essentially created Pixar.
Thank God.
Wow. Before we watch this, and I want to.
We're not going to even watch it. We're just looking at this.
Oh, we just want to see the two moons. Okay. Here's my question about the love scene.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, why is he freaking out because he doesn't have a penis?
He has a penis. Okay.
Wait a minute.
I know, because duck penis come in and hook you.
Why?
Because duck penis hooks you.
We know he has a penis. How do we know?
That's how.
Because in his wallet is a loose condom.
It is unwrapped.
Just a loosey. Because sometimes you're like, I gotta get inside this bitch, but I don't know if I want to open it up.
But to me, like, how dry is that condom? Unless ducks don't need lube.
Covered in lint and not, it's like next.
That or
next
he used it.
It's got like pen marks on it. Like,
that or he used that condom and was like, no trash.
Put
it in my billfold.
I don't have a wrapper for my condom. I'll just put it between $2 bills. those are sanitary, right?
Man, and if you watch this scene all the way through, she's like snooping and she pulls out this unwrapped tiny little duck penis condom, and she just looks at, she's just like, Howard.
Yeah, she's like, no, Howard. But I mean, the people in the audience can see it. The condom is no bigger than her fingernail.
Yeah.
So they were like, make sure it's a small condom. You know, make sure.
But Howard the duck is like 4 feet tall. He should have a bigger dick than that, right? I mean, arguably.
Wait, how do duck penises work? Paul, can we Google it?
Doesn't it have a hook?
Can we Google how duck penises work?
Just tell me.
Are you somebody that knows about duck penises? Hang on.
Oh, okay. She used to raise ducks.
Are you being honest right now? Okay, hold on. Guys, prepare to have your minds blown.
So the thing is a duck's penis is corkscrewed, and the duck's vagina is corkscrewed the other way. So when they have sex, it's like...
Wait, does it move like that? You're moving it like a drill bit.
Does that propel motion somehow?
But I still feel like there would have to be a twist and a turn.
I just got super horny.
Hang on. I just want to get to the bottom of this. I want you to explain it as clear as possible, but slow and in a sexier voice.
All right, so you know that, like, duck cup.
Okay, this is happening. Guys, get out of here.
Wait.
Everybody get out of here. I think it's working. Wait, is there anything more relevant for this?
No, really, it's just kind of a weird pointy shape.
Yeah.
I don't think Howard
has a duck penis. I think Howard, if he has a penis, has a human penis.
Like the other duck had human tits.
Yeah. Well, the condom would suggest that as well. Although, I don't know, a rolled up corkscrew condom probably just... Or is it just kind of like you'd have to do this? It's like that game where you have to, the metal thing with the circle in the middle, and the thing is going around and around, and you have to like try and around so it doesn't.
Visually, you're missing a bunch of stuff here if you're listening.
So, it's all visual jokes tonight.
But why is Howard freaking out then?
Because she calls his bluff. He makes a pass. He's all talk. Yeah, he makes a pass, and she says...
By the way, he's in a loving relationship with Michelle. As we see in the beginning of the movie, he gets a postcard, and she's like, I'm missing you, can't wait to see you.
You know what I think?
But he forgets about Michelle the second he's in Cleveland.
I don't know, is he in a relationship, or is he just like fucking this broad?
And I think there are a couple of girls who leave messages on his phone. I think he's got a bunch of fuck buddies.
Look, Howard the Duck is kind of a lonely character. He comes home at night, he can't find TV, he takes out a play duck, and he starts to jerk it before he's sucked to earth. I mean, that's the way the movie opens.
That's where it's going. That's definitely where it's headed.
And so maybe he's a lonely guy. Maybe he's connected with her, but I would think he would want to kiss her.
Would you say, though, that his journey through the movie is that he, like, learns to, like... connect with someone and really learns to, like, that he wants to, like, settle down and stuff.
So you're saying that he learns...
This is a serious serious question, because honestly, at one point I thought, okay, the whole movie, the trajectory of this movie is going to be that his passion for music is going to be reignited.
I thought that
that's
too.
I
don't play anymore. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's going to
They're going to collaborate.
That.
Well, by the way,
it's beautiful.
I agree with that because there was, and I thought there was, he was going to sing a song at one point because he was like, I mean, I don't know. And then there's a dramatic move and he's in front of a piano and he goes, boo, boo, bee, boo, boo. And he looks back at her and I was like, oh, there's going to be a song now. And
no.
Then just walks away from the piano.
Right.
Also,
that's totally dropped. So it seems like his...
You wanted him to play a little bit. You did want
Well, yeah, I thought that was what the
I
whole
thought he
story
would maybe join the band.
About me too.
Yep.
And then he becomes the band manager, and then he like plays one song at the end, which was pretty awesome.
With his beak. He does play with his beak.
That was awesome.
Spoiler alert, you'll get to see that at the end.
And I love that those cherry bombs. I know you said it, but they're like Jem and the hologram.
Holly Robinson Pete.
Holly Robinson Pete.
Shit, man.
By the way, Tim Robbins is also in this movie as kind of an evil guy, but then he becomes a good guy. But he does say a really creepy thing when he goes in to see those Jem and the Hologram girls. He goes,
the cherry bomb.
He goes, hey, girl. They just played a show, and he comes backstage. He's like, hey, girls, just came back here to watch you undress, and I brought you some pizza.
Well, that sums up the humor in this film.
I think.
All that all the time. Just
yeah.
Yes.
I think he actually said, hey, girls, I didn't see the show, but I made it in time to see you undress.
You're right.
Which is 1 million times grosser. You know what? Fuck it. I don't want to see my girlfriend perform. I just want to see her and her friends and their titties out.
By the way, he also works at a museum where there's a lab.
Yeah, and like experimental lasers.
I have a whole problem with the way his character is introduced, because Leah Thompson's like, we got to find out why you came to Earth, Howard. I'm going to bring you to my friend. And then she goes there, and she looks like she's never been there. And then is surprised to find out that her friend is, like, a janitor. Like, then he's not really that much of a friend. What, like, she, like, thinks he's a scientist?
And what about that moment when they walk... So she comes in, they both walk into his office, and then the camera holds on the door closing. Then the door opens. Tim Robbins pops out, closes the door, and runs into a conference of higher-level scientists. It's like, you guys... And then he's like, nothing. And he goes back.
I also love that moment because he runs into these high-level scientists, and there's just like a big dinosaur head on the table, and someone's like, dinosaur head. And everyone's like, oh, yes. Dinosaur
so we're all
head.
In agreement then. This is dinosaur a dinosaur head. Yes,
that is definitely
a dinosaur. I think we can all agree.
Dinosaur.
I'm pretty sure it's the head.
This scene, this is the other, I mean, this is, it was problematic in every other sentence, but then he gets pissed off by the way Tim Robbins is trying to treat him, and he yells at Leah Thompson and is like, I'm on my own, and then he like goes and works at a brothel.
No.
Whoa. Because
do
this
not.
Shit, we
do
have to
not.
Okay.
Do not.
We gotta back it up.
Wait,
just a bit.
I forgot about it.
Back
what happened?
Up. Because what he says is, oh, I guess it's time to get a job. And he goes to the unemployment office.
He has been in town for 12 some odd hours.
And he has
given up on going home and decided to get a job.
He is, now, keep in mind, he's a fucking duck. I want you to understand, he's not from another town, come to the big city. He's a duck that got sucked through interdimensional space in an armchair and is now at the unemployment office.
12 hours ago, he thought Cleveland was a planet. So
now he has clothes and is looking for a job.
By the way, he dresses like a rejected member of the Village People. Like a small leather hat.
Well, also for a while, he kind of looks like a flasher for the first.
Yes. He's dressed like a
perv. On Earth. Yeah.
He meets up with an unemployment officer, a very sassy, large African-American woman who's like, all right, they gave me to you because I get all the weirdos.
Like, keep in mind, she's talking to a duck.
I'm obsessed
and
with this woman,
And he says to
though.
Her, yeah, She doesn't she does not see that he's a duck.
So she's great. She's killing it. It's on her. And she's like, this is bullshit. You're going to go to work. You can't take money and reverse on him. It's a fucking duck. She's talking to a goddamn
but
duck.
But what does she think he is?
A weirdo.
A weirdo?
A weirdo.
I think she's like, this is a new level of tattooing. Like, he is put feathers
she's
on his
face.
She's
just like, I've seen it all. It all.
No worry. I'm going to get this fucking duck a job. That's what she's like. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to get you a job. Cut to, he works at a hot tub place.
Yeah.
By the way.
A weird place.
And by the way, I will say this. For her, she did do what she was supposed to do. She got him a job.
Exactly.
She's good
at her work.
But number two, it seemed like Howard was pretty willing to work. She was very aggressive with him. He was like, I want a job. He's like, don't you come in here. Like, whoa, hey.
Well, this is what's weird, though. It seems it, because she got him a job at a hot tub place with water.
It's a brothel.
Okay, now keep it up.
What I'm saying is
hot tub place, and it's really just like a place that has hot tubs and rooms that people are fucking in.
Yeah, and a mud room.
There's a lot of hot tubs in this place.
Yeah, okay.
But they're all fucking
in
them.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like she knew that because he's a duck, he would do well there.
But she does say, I think you're going to take to this job
like a duck to water.
She doesn't think he's a duck. That's just an irony.
There are levels that June is watching on that are next level. There's next level watching.
Wait, so you think that she said, all right, I'm the best. I'm going to get this duck a job.
I think her whole thing is, look, when people come in here, I don't judge them. I don't care what they look like.
Okay.
I'm going to get them a job at all costs.
Come in.
Right, but what I'm saying is she does know he's a duck. She doesn't care.
You're saying when she's looking to play someone, she sees past species.
Absolutely.
Guys, let me do a quick plug here for our friends at Squarespace. Squarespace is awesome, okay? In my opinion, it's the best website platform out there in terms of design and functionality and choice. You don't have to be an HTML guy. You don't have to know anything about websites. You just have to know what looks good, and they will make it happen. All right, so here we go. You need to make a website. Listen no further. I'm putting it right in front of your ear hose. Squarespace is the way to go. You can do so much with the Squarespace platform. If you're an artist, you can use it as a gallery to display your beautiful art. If you're a new restaurant in town, you can have an open table app take your reservations right from your website. If you're a craft shipbuilder, good for you. You have a very cool job, and you can use Squarespace to let everyone know about it. Plus, here's my favorite part of Squarespace. Because you create your site using adjustable drag-and-drop boxes, Squarespace automatically scales browsing to any device. It looks great on everything. So sign up with Squarespace for a year. They'll give you a free domain name. They're good guys. I like these people. And they're smart because they're sponsoring the show. And so every time you go there, that helps us and we get to keep the lights on. Not literally the lights on, but the recording thing's recording. So support the show. Go to squarespace.com. Start a free trial with no credit card required. When you do decide to purchase, and you say I do, click enter offer code below the pricing at checkout and enter offer code EARTH to get a 10% discount. That's squarespace.com. Offer code EARTH, EARTH. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. Guys, it's getting to be that time of year where every day, it's a lovely day, right? Clear skies, slight breezes, long strolls, light bags, you want to get out there, right? It's impossible to improve on this time of year, or so you thought. We got a little secret. It's been making my summer way better than all of yours. It's called Audible. And if you love reading and you don't want to carry your book around with you, guess what? You can carry it with you in your ears. What are you talking about, Cheer? I'm talking about Audible.com, the premier online provider of audiobooks and audio entertainment. You know the drill. Come on, guys. Get on my page. These guys got what? 100,000 books available? You can play their audiobooks on any device. You don't have to carry around those big old books with all those dumb words. Oh, it's so heavy. My arms are so weak because my Pilates class. Fuck Pilates. You can carry around your books on your earbuds. Or earbuds. Like the kid from the Cosby Show. Here's the deal. If you want to do it right now, you want to try what this is all about, you've heard about it a bunch, you never did it, do it right now. Get a free audiobook on us and a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is log on to audiblepodcast.com/how to get it. That's easy. audiblepodcast.com/how. What's the hardest part of signing up for Audible? Probably figuring out what you want to read. Yeah. What do you want to read? What about Dan Brown's new summer sequel, Inferno? It's so fast-paced. I think his chapters are like a page. Come on, friends. So it's so easy. They're giving you a great deal. So get to audiblepodcast.com/how for a free audiobook and 30-day free trial. Remember, it's audiblepodcast.com/how for a free audiobook and 30-day free trial. That's audible.com. Get on it. Do it. Listen to books. Don't read.
That's the flaw with this film, too. It's like when you watch any Muppet movie, every character in that world, human or Muppet, is just like, this is our reality. But Howard the Duck never decided that. It's like, like you were saying.
Sometimes people lose their minds. Like, oh my God, I'm looking
mass
at
panic.
An alien, a monster. And sometimes people are like, hey man, can I sit next to you? Like, when he's on the bus, he's just walking around. He then has
it
a job.
Was the 80s. People were much more accepting. The Cold War was imminent. We were friends to ducks.
My favorite thing, just to wrap up this unemployment thing, is then the woman turns around to fill out the paperwork, and he is transfixed by her ass. Her ass is like right in front of him, and he's like, rrr. He's like freaking out. He's gonna like jizz in his pants if his duck dick
works.
Well,
and he goes to bite that ass, that juicy ass.
He tries to go bite it just as she turns around
and puts the employment form in his mouth. Again, if I
he's
am a
sexual
parent
predator.
In the 80s.
Guys, she's helping him get a job. His response was to try and bite her ass. He is an alien who is trying to attack our women sexually. Why are we rooting for him?
But yet, four scenes earlier, he's saving somebody from sexual assault. So he's a very complicated
and
character.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
Very
is,
true.
Leah Thompson is throwing herself at him, and he's like, hey, no, I can't. I'm nervous. I'm scared. Uh-oh. But he's like, oh, I got to bite this juicy butt. Oh, I gotta bite this juicy butt.
Suffice it to say, him working at the fuck club does not work out well.
But also his argument, his like yawn at Leah Thompson is like so dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, why is she getting yelled at?
Yeah, like because yeah, he feels like, hey, you brought me to one person and you didn't solve my fucking problem. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm a duck from another planet. I don't need you.
He really does have a very bad attitude.
Yeah. Leah Thompson's in a band living in an abandoned tenement. He's like, she's like, I'm trying. I know someone who happens to be loosely affiliated with science.
Like, she's doing
the best
she can. She's doing the best she can. Like a giant talking duck has attached itself to her, and she is trying to fuck it, trying to help it, trying to do everything, and he's basically like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. How about this? How about this? Go fuck yourself.
I'm going to say Leah Thompson did it better than I could have done in that same situation.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. She is legitimately acting her ass off. She's doing amazing work. This, compared to Jaden Smith in After Earth, is like above, like the puppets are better than his performance in this movie.
After his one excursion, he joins back up with Leah Thompson. He's like, all right, well, I'm back with her now.
I can't at this point figure out how much time has passed. How long has he been in the workforce?
No.
Well, he gets back with her because he shows up at her club and he fights. He's a good fighter. That's the other thing. Yeah. One duck punch from Howard and you're down.
I'm gonna show the fight scene because this is how he gets back into Leah Thompson's good graces. By the way, for the people listening at home, just know that one of the bad guys in this movie is one of the guys who stole Ferris Bueller's car. Ferris Bueller's car. Here we go.
Earring in your other ear? I'll just make the hole myself.
No, please, man. Don't, man. Please, don't.
The money.
Sure. Here. Here, take the money. Take it. It's yours. Take it.
And you're no longer their manager.
Listen, okay? Everybody in here is a
a witness. I'm letting the girls out of their contract, okay?
Tell your goons to stay back. I'm warning
you. Stay back, Richie.
I bite your face. You're a dead man, Ginger.
What are you talking about?
Space rabies.
What? Space. So now not only is he a duck in the world, super fucked up, he is telling people, I'm an alien. And I've got something you can have.
Well, see, this is where the movie does turn alien. Like, this is where alien, it's what starts with space rabies, and then aliens become a huge,
yep.
huge part of this movie.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I mean, did everyone catch the bartender being like, yeah? It's so good.
The bartender is like a 1960s like beat poet yeah. kind of guy. And he's like, yeah.
That is like, you don't see that anywhere.
No.
That's not a character who has any lines or anything.
No.
That's a director's choice to be like, okay, but I want the bartender to be like a mid-1950s yeah. beatnik.
And you're loving this. You're loving this.
You're helping the duck. Now, I will also point out that it's odd that the guy that is their manager and has been holding money keeps all the money that he's owed them in his pocket, ready to go. As if, oh yeah, here's the money, boom. I have a billfold with the exact
amount. And he says, I'll give it to him when Sweet Beverly puts out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't see that, sorry. But yeah, these guys are bad dudes.
Oh my
God.
But
all of a sudden, again, if you're a parent in the 80s, you think George Lucas, duck... And all of a sudden, you've seen condoms, you've seen fuckhouses, and now you've seen a duck wielding a weapon ready to puncture a man's face. This is not what you bargained for. This is not the PG-13 that you saw.
The thing that for me was that moment where I was like, what the fuck planet is this? At a certain point, the police get involved. And Howard the Duck and Leah Thompson are trying to escape, and Leah Thompson takes the cop's gun out of his holster and points it at him like, what the fuck do you want? And it becomes, I'm like, that's a policeman. Like, what? He's done nothing wrong to you. You're with a duck that's talking. You're the weird one. Don't, like, point a gun at this guy.
Other weird thing with her is that every time she runs into a group of people, and something's happening with Howard, she just says, you gotta help Howard! As though everybody knows who Howard is.
She does do that all the time.
You're hurting Howard.
And then inexplicably, at a certain point, she just starts calling him Ducky.
That really
which is
yeah.
really weird.
Well, and here's what's so strange about her character. When she first touches the feather, when he falls asleep on their first night together, it looks so maternal. And it looks to like, okay, I guess this is...
Some guy was like,
she's going to connect to him like...
But can you say that this is like in her wheelhouse? Because Leah Thompson also plays a very similar scene with Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future when she is his mother, but she's also sexually attractive. She knows how to do that role.
Did anybody else...
It's a very hard position as a female actress to do that.
Very edible. It's so strange.
Their relationship is super weird and gross. Did anybody else think that after the sex scene later or whatever, he's leaving or something, and she goes, hey, what's this? And she reaches into the bed and pulls out a handful of feathers. And I was like, did he like jizz feathers?
Ew!
Did anybody else think that? No?
Were those feathers?
Yeah, a couple of...
No, they're just...
A couple of other weirdos.
That was just... He was leaving those for her.
He's
what?
Like, no.
No. What are you talking about?
I might be confused.
John Stern is emailing you.
Oh. Guys, shut off my email.
Please. Everybody who has Paul Scheer's email right now, start emailing him pictures of your dick.
I would love it.
Done.
a lot of stuff up there.
I like Bob's B-Day folder, like a whole folder.
You guys are looking at my whole...
Oh, did anybody else think... Okay, so at this point in the movie, Jeffrey Jones, right?
Oh, we didn't even talk about Jeffrey Jones.
Another Ferris Bueller player.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So who, Jeffrey Jones is like...
By the way, got this part... because of his role in Amadeus. They said, oh, this is the guy.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so he plays like an astrophysicist kind of dude who comes along to say, I think I know what I... He justifies everything. We tried out some new laser. It fucked up, so it brought you from your planet. Blah, 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 blah. He tries up... He fires up his laser cannon again or whatever. And then a What is it? A Dark Lord of the Universe possesses him?
An interdimensional demon...
Overlord.
Overlord of the Universe. Okay.
Who's so also starts, a Marvel character.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yes.
So he starts acting, I don't know, like cuckoo crazy? I think is what you describe
well,
it as, like, pretty much
first,
100% cuckoo crazy.
First of all, it starts with just, like, some muscle aches. He's like, so anyway, I need to, ooh. And look, we gotta...
I don't feel good. I don't feel good.
He doesn't feel good. He's a little sweatier. But then it gets worse and worse and worse.
It's really bad.
And then at a certain point, he says, there is no more Jennings. I am now... someone else.
That is the best line of the whole movie.
What?
I am now
someone else.
Holy
to be named
shit.
Later.
Control Alt S. Save that shit.
Now.
Done writing for the day.
Now, at this point, Leah Thompson, who is trying to fuck a duck, and the duck are like, stop acting crazy, Jennings. And everybody says he just needs a cup of coffee.
Oh, Leah Thompson's doing everything. Okay, and they're also on like a crazy car chase. Like, they're like, you know, like for hours. And he's going nuts, and Leah Thompson's just trying again to be motherly, like, you just need coffee. Maybe you need to go to the bathroom. Like, she's just, I don't know.
And just to point this out to you guys, he is sweaty. His face is changing proportion.
His face is melting.
He's like, well, I talk like this now.
And even when he gets eye lasers...
can we just say how he shows he's powerful?
Yep. Do you have it to show?
I don't have it to show. Okay. You were going to explain that?
Oh, yeah, I was going to. But
okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Good.
You take.
They're at this diner. There is, maybe...
The diner.
There's like...
Oh. Come on. The diner is amazing. It's Cajun sushi. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And by the way...
That was cool... I don't know if that's
from like
the
that.
Comic, but that's awesome. And
I
the
like
waitresses
that too.
Had like a...
There's a waitress in the diner scene.
Yeah.
The one who wears the big glasses, who's one of the best actors I've ever.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm so obsessed.
She's one of the ones who's like,
so
your kid's costume is great. That's terrific. And you're like, oh man, you are
She's
killing it.
So great.
She reminded me.
So great.
I felt like they set up Cajun sushi, and I wanted it to be like egg sashimi or something. They didn't have anything fun with the menu. They just kind of...
They did nothing with it.
It was all on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I wish.
All on the cutting room floor.
So he's getting more and more powerful. They're ignoring him. I just want to point out how much they're ignoring him. Like, his face is changing. And they're like all right,
melting.
Calm down.
And his voice has been like, burr, burr, army, burby, burby.
Well, he also starts to speak with a Russian accent.
What?
He starts to speak with a Russian accent, yes.
It's not Russian.
I swear.
That categorically did not happen.
Guys, I swear, listen to his voice. He becomes more and more Russian as he transforms into an overlord. That did not happen.
Are you trying to say there is a subtle Cold War subtext to this movie?
I don't know.
That the guy that is the bad guy
has to turn into
a Russian? I mean, is this like some Red Dawn shit?
He's the Drago of this movie.
So Rocky they're sitting there, and they refuse to acknowledge that he is a Dark Lord of the Universe. They refuse to acknowledge that, keep calling him Jennings, and then his eyes glow, and a ketchup bottle and a mustard bottle start vibrating. And then everybody's like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? And then, like, and those two things explode. And then everybody's like, uh-oh, this guy might mean business.
But then...
Condiments beware.
But then Howard the Duck is rude to the waitress. They get into a big fight, a huge fight. The sushi chef is about to cut off its head. Jennings now is at an all-powerful, all-time high. shooting
he's
lasers.
He's definitely someone else.
What?
He's definitely someone
definitely
else.
Someone
except
else.
That they keep calling him Jennings.
Yes.
Howard keeps going, hey, Jennings, a little help here?
By the way, he has now at this point gone past I'm someone else and said, I am an interdimensional demon, Narcissus, or whatever the fuck his name is. And he's
did
like,
he, wait, did I he have a name?
He did say his name, oh, Somulus right. or something. And so he has now named himself.
Wait, isn't that just someone else mashed together? I am someone else. I am someone else.
Someone else. Someone else.
My name is someone else. And control, alt, save, good.
Things are exploding all over the place. He's like controlling a hatchet with his mind, to which a patron of the diner turns and goes, well, he must have had the chili.
Yeah, yes. That
happened. Gotta shoot it.
He must have had the chili. At which point then, when they're also gonna kill Howard, she goes, no, you can't. He's my boyfriend.
Yep. Record
That's
screech.
A real declaration.
How have they gotten, like, are they exclusive now? Like, what the fuck is happening? I don't think they've consummated this relationship.
Oh, and there's also a moment in here where before this fight starts, where the truck drivers get angry with Howard. And there's like, I don't even know what it is. It's like some sort of special key that controls a giant laser. But it's like a big, it looks like a garage remote control. It's like a big bulky thing.
Yeah, garage door opener.
Yeah, it's big and it's weird looking. And the truck driver immediately goes, hey, what's this, the key to your duckmobile? And pops it in his pocket.
Entirely possible that he would have a duckmobile.
Also, it looks nothing like a key. But yet he needed to take it. Like, that's the whole reason the fight happens. So this guy has this...
Here's what I wanted to know. During the fight, and this diner scene lasts... hour and a half.
Yeah.
Everything
in
this movie lasts way too long.
This movie's
2 hours. It's an hour 50.
The airplane scene is easily 25 minutes long. At a certain point, I was like, how long have they been on this fucking airplane?
Wait,
I bet that
they get
took
on an airplane
week?
In this movie?
Well,
that thing is.
Yeah.
I'm calling it an airplane.
It is. It's a little one.
Oh, at the end of the diner scene.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the diner scene is a pie fight. But Howard the Duck, they can't make Howard the Duck throw pies. So Howard the Duck can only hold pies, and people can run at him and run into the pies. So that is the pie fight that happens, is people who are nearby put their faces in a pie.
Now that we're in a post-Avatar world, oh my God, all we could have had so much more fun.
Here's another weird thing about Howard, though. They established that he can't fly, that ducks...
And can't swim either.
He can't fly and can't swim. But in the beginning of the movie, when he first lands on Earth, he does try to fly.
Excuse me?
Guys.
Describe it, please.
There's a moment where Howard, with his hands, tries to fly along the street. He flaps his hands a number of times as though he's going to take off.
I don't know.
Where and when?
I don't know now. I don't know the time.
That doesn't happen because he can't fly on his home planet.
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't fly anywhere.
I know, and that's why it was crazy that he tried to fly.
So do you think this was
some
sort of...
Don't you think he was maybe he was wet and he was like blowing himself off?
Yeah, I thought because it was raining he was crying.
Yeah, like shaking off the rain.
No, I know that
maybe
moment.
Maybe he was cleaning his feathers.
I know that moment.
You think he was trying to fly.
I swear there was a moment he took both hands.
So do you think his journey? Do you think his journey is towards flight?
Oh, that's a... It's a really good question.
To being free?
That's a really good question.
Can I just also... quickly to the back to the diner, the moment where they order the special and it's eggs, Howard flips the fuck out.
That's what causes the fight.
Yeah.
No, the fight is the truckers hit on Leah Thompson.
What would be the equivalent to us? Would that be like fetus? What?
Embryos.
So I was gonna say, would that be? Well, hold on. Would that be like? So it would just be like fetuses on a plane.
But it would be like ape embryos, right, or something? Because ducks and chickens aren't
chicken
the same.
Eggs.
So, but he was like, I mean, he's never been more mad except for when Leah Thompson did nothing
assume?
To him.
Wouldn't you assume? Because here's the thing.
Except like, for when she tried to help him.
Yeah.
I will ask you this: like, you guys eat eggs, right?
Sure.
You guys eat the eggs of another species, even though your body produces eggs. Right?
That's correct.
On Duck Planet, are we to, like...
That's what I thought.
I'm assuming chickens are still just chickens.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think on their planet they have other species.
But we don't eat monkeys.
At all?
We don't eat monkeys, though. That would be the equivalent. We don't eat monkeys.
If you, when he opens his fridge on the planet, there are gummy frogs.
Yes, he eats frogs. Oh.
So.
But I don't know what those frogs were. They were like,
they're in there. They're like gummy bears or gummy worms.
Well, they were real, I would imagine.
They were candies, I thought.
Oh, I thought they were like real frogs, though.
Well, they were poorly made.
Okay. Again, another prop from Return of the Jedi. That's out of like Jabba's bowl or something like that.
I think you kind of get a hint at the humor, too. Is it like Jar Jar Binks was really funny to George Lucas, and this was probably really funny to him?
Well, yeah.
You know?
People who say that George Lucas lost it for the new Star Wars are wrong. He lost it way earlier. Way, way earlier. I want to show one of the most disturbing sequences of any film. This is Jeffrey Jones, and he needs electricity. I apologize because it's very visual, so those at home.
And here's the thing. He needs electricity.
He needs electricity.
He needs power.
Here we go. Get ready to be disgusted.
All right, so this clip is actually very visual. What you should picture is Jeffrey Jones, a sweaty mess, turning, leering at Leah Thompson. And then from out of his mouth comes a metallic snake. It's kind of like reverse alien. And it looks like a penis, like a disgusting penis coming out of his mouth. It's going right towards Leah Thompson. And then at the last second, detours and goes into a car charger and gets electrocuted, and his whole face gets electrocuted. So that's what's happening here. Now, back to the show.
There is a straight up rape tentacle in this movie. There is like an anime level rape tentacle.
That is.
That comes out of his mouth and fucks. The only fucking in this movie is the rape tentacle and the socket of the, whatever that thing is called.
And she's still like, ew, gross, I'm gonna puke. Her reaction is so muted.
Lucky for you, that's all he wants to do with that thing.
Oh, man. Good thing he couldn't get power from her sweet, sweet vagina.
Come on. We know those things don't have any power.
Hey.
Hey! My vagina's got magic inside.
I'm just kidding. The power of the pussy is limitless.
Thank you. You got a bachelorette party here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It would hurt not to touch on the fact that they find a airplane out in the back of the diner for no apparent reason.
Yep. Tim Robbins and Howard just get on and try and fly.
And in that flying sequence, Tim Robbins goes from being a good guy to a bad guy, back to a good guy again. He's with Howard, he's not with Howard. He's with Howard again.
If Howard is a Christ figure, he is the one who denies Christ. You will deny me three times.
Yeah, he did it.
That's what Tim Robbins does.
The deep roll.
He's what?
He's handcuffed.
He's
also handcuffed. He's handcuffed for pretty much the entire third act of the movie.
Which is essentially three scenes, each of which is 90 minutes long. It feels like.
If you took out all the chasing, flying, falling,
fighting,
the movie would be 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought for sure, too, Tim Robbins' character was at some point, like during the third act of the movie, going to see Howard as like a real, you know, not person, of course, but like see that he has an emotional life.
Is an individual,
and not just a science experiment.
No. Well, you know what?
It's
that kind of performance level that he brought to it that beat Jay Leno out of that part. Jay Leno also up for that part. Yes. Yes, so Jay Leno and Tim Robbins going head to head.
Jay Leno looked too much like Howard the Duck. And caused him to not get that part is that his head was too large and square.
The third act is kind of inconsequential because it's so fucking boring, but I do want to talk about this one thing that I think is a big problem, which is the voice of the duck is so... It's so non-engaging. Like, I feel like I'm not... Like, it doesn't seem like a character that I want to be friends with. It seems like...
Well, in the comic, really I think I'm right. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the comic, isn't he like... He's a foul-mouthed asshole. He's like... He's a dick.
Yeah.
He's like... Isn't he kind of like a hard-boiled detective kind of asshole?
He's like
dick?
A smoking...
What?
Hard-boiled. You said
hard-boiled.
Hard-boiled.
Did it.
You guys see what's happening here, right?
You guys are doing it better
it's like
than
a,
us.
It's like, and it's like a film noir type thing.
Yeah.
And I think, and like,
is that
George
why he's
Lucas
in a trench coat?
Com- what?
Yeah, because he's in a trench coat.
Yeah.
And at some point, he's in trouble and his goose is cooked. No, guys.
But that's what makes
guys,
them exciting.
I was trying to force that.
Exciting.
Exciting.
I did some research.
The rest of the podcast is just puns and people
that
leaving.
That would be Howard the Duck.
Guys, I didn't mean to ruffle your feathers with that last pun. I'm glad we could have Kristen on the bill.
Now you feel what it is to watch the movie.
For an hour and 15 minutes.
I mean,
hour five.
There were so
I didn't think that was
what
a missed
the fuck moments.
I did think that was a missed joke when he kept on asking for the check. He should have said the bill.
Yeah.
But did you guys feel that at all? That his voice wasn't like, he wasn't like, that's a fun voice. I don't know. Like I mean, like Roger the Rabbit has like a fun voice and like that's a main character.
No, he was really boring, really flat, really boring.
I would have liked Gilbert Godfrey as that character. You know, like that kind of a voice.
In retrospect.
I would watch Howard the Duck.
That was great.
I would watch a sequel starring the Affleck Duck.
John Cusack and Martin Short did not get the role of the voice. They auditioned for it. And it went to Chip Zian.
Who we all know.
I liked his voice. I thought it was just suited him fine.
You know what? This is why we have the show. Just
and
to have
I imagined
kind of
all the fillers too, because you know Chip's in the sound booth, and he's got to do voiceover for hours and hours and hours, and Howard's just looking off in a direction. He's got to like add lines.
Yeah, his mouth is a lot of the times not moving when he's talking. Like in the beginning, I was like, "Oh, is his mouth just not going to move?" And then it does, and then it stops. But there's a lot of times where it's just, and you hear a whole monologue going on.
At a certain point, Jeffrey Jones is running out of power, and so he goes on a tour of a nuclear facility,
which he just walks in wearing a visor.
And then he goes in and he like sucks the power out of a nuclear reactor.
But wait a second. Before on the tour, he is completely deformed now.
Yep.
Bald.
Yep.
And someone goes, oh, this guy needs a cup of coffee.
Yep.
Just need some coffee.
And then he gets completely irradiated, full of power, gets back into the truck with Leah Thompson, at which point I was like, you just got all of the cancer in the world. Like, he is now like a walking radiation bomb. Like, anybody, she is sterile instantly. Right? If I keep getting into this, it's gonna get real funny, right? The cancer that is going to befall her character within months.
By the way, though,
smell sequel.
Why does he need her on this mission?
Because he's gonna use her body to bring down one of the other overlords of the universe. But that makes no sense
because the only reason why the overlord got into his body is because he's too ugly. He's like, my body is too hideous. So, but now he's taking control. He could bring a hideous person to Earth.
Yeah,
now.
And then he also just comes right out of his body, and he's like this real monster, like a real scary monster.
Like something out of Jason and the Argonauts meets like the Cloverfield monsters. Yeah. Very claymation and like, blah, yeah, I don't know how to describe it more than it's a blob.
It's a blob with a mouth, and I think the mouth is the focal point.
Yes.
Well, at this point, they must have been like, you know what? With the special effects, we're fucking firing on all cylinders. So let's just go ahead and create this new monster because we are killing it.
Let's complicate this final scene a little bit more, but luckily there was an irradiation gun. They shoot it, and it's good. Done. So that's the movie. I mean, really. I mean, is there anything to talk about in that third act that's... I mean, just, it's long.
Well, it's so long.
But it's not about the third act.
What?
When they try to take... At one point, one of the scientists tries to take Howard's boxers off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they don't come off.
No.
Why not?
So we don't see his dick.
But...
I think, honestly, they try... Because the cop says, take off this jerk's suit. Take off the duck suit. Get him out of the duck suit. So they take off all of his clothes, and then they're like, there's no zipper. There's no zipper.
For the duck suit.
Yeah, and then he's like, take off his briefs or his shorts or whatever, and then but then when you see him, he's not naked. But he's skinny. He's way skinnier.
And why is he wearing underwear, but Donald Duck wears none?
Well, that's that's what I'm saying. They can't take off his boxer. Someone has a line where they
say... No, they can't take off his suit, his duck suit.
Yeah.
Oh, so they just...
Well,
choose not to take off
his boxer. Wait, did you think
boxer.
They were incapable
I honestly
of taking off
his... You thought like the boxers were attached to him?
Very real was happening
in the evolutionary
with his genitals
scale.
That was affecting what
so
went
on
with Pamelia in the bed.
On the duck planet, they evolved to have permanent underwear. Except for ladies, not on top.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going on.
I do, just because we were talking about the cops, I want to show probably one of the best written 80-yard scenes of all time. This is the cops explaining the situation. Just listen very closely. Here we go.
On a double. Okay, I want this guy. The suspect is 3'1" tall.
3'2", thank you.
You heard me. He's armed. That means he's got a weapon, right? That also means he's dangerous.
What?
Extremely dangerous. Shoot to kill. Let's move it out. Come on.
Dumbest cops of all time. He is armed. He is dangerous. Means he's armed and dangerous.
Shoot to kill. There are a lot of times people have quotes from famous movies in here. There's one line where Tim Robbins, because he's being cheated out of being able to use Howard to advance his scientific career, says, I could have been a contender. I could have been a contender. And then in the next scene, he says, of all the planets in all the world, I had to fall into your... there's so many dumb movie quote lines in here. And I feel like they thought people were going to be like, oh, fuck yeah, man. I fucking love these movies they're referencing.
There's a lot of bad... I feel like this is like Francis Ford Coppola is on one side of the table talking about Captain EO. Lucas is on the other side talking about Howard the Duck, and they're just snorting cocaine towards each other like Lady and the Tramp. It's going, great idea, great idea. I love this. And fucking they pass out bloody nose like we are geniuses.
If you told me that this movie was made on a dare, I would believe you.
The writer of this movie wrote American Graffiti,
yeah.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and this.
Yeah, I feel like those two guys, they had to, it was almost like a bet one of them lost, and he was like, great, this is what you're doing. Boom, Howard the Duck.
I'm George Lucas, I'm unstoppable.
Yeah.
I used to get a Star Wars magazine when I was a kid. It was called Bantha Tracks.
Yeah.
Right? And it was almost like a pamphlet. And then all of a sudden, Bantha Tracks stopped after Return of the Jedi, and it was like, Howard the Duck? And it was 3 months of Howard the Duck? And I was like,
So
where's Han Solo? Yoda, where's Yoda?
But in the comic, does he live on Earth?
Guys?
I think he's a detective.
Does he solve crimes?
Can a nerd speak for the Howard the Duck? Yes, nerd with his hand raised, please.
Wow. So he said Disney sued Marvel and said that he had to wear pants because Donald Duck doesn't wear pants. So that would have been like copyright infringement, I guess.
Yeah, you can wear. Okay, great.
Well, this is actually great. Let's actually turn up the house. Let's go out to the audience, see what they have to say.
Oh, nice.
Anything that we did not bring up. We normally have mini episodes for corrections and omissions, but are there anything that you want to talk about?
Oh, there's a lot of people want to talk about this movie.
A lot of hands up. Sir, what's your name and what's your question?
My name is Tony. I'm actually from Cleveland, where this is supposed to take place.
Wait, you're from... from Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Cleveland?
The planet?
Oh, is it a planet?
We call it the Cleve, but we don't at all. Three things. First one.
Three things?
It's quick.
It's going to be quick. I believe him.
Hey, Tony, don't
he
get talking,
lived,
bro.
His city lived through this incident. Let him speak. Here we go.
During the flying scene, you see palm trees in the back?
Yes.
That's true.
No palm trees in Cleveland.
I believe that.
The second one, too few black people in downtown Cleveland.
I also got an email, I got a Twitter, and someone said, please mention that there is no woman as attractive as Leah Thompson in Cleveland. Yeah. Okay, third thing.
The third thing I actually forgot, because I'm kind of nervous about talking.
Well, I want to ask a question.
Well, you did a great job.
If you want to break into the music scene and really, boost your music career? Do you go to Cleveland to make that happen?
It's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there.
Oh, okay.
So all right. Touche.
You do.
Touche, Tony. Touche.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. We'll go over here. Sir, what's your name? What's your question? Here we go.
My name is Jason. My question is...
Great name. Fucking a home run name, bro. In the name department, killing it.
So in the end, pretty much the end scene when they kill the big alien thing, right? Then they tell Howard that he has to blow up the laser. So, you know, and she says, oh, but then you can never go home. But he blows it up anyways. Was there not just like a button they could push or something to turn it off rather than having to blow up the whole thing?
Very good question.
I'm sorry. So you want to know... You want to know why there isn't an emergency off button?
Why do you need to destroy the technology instead? Like, why? Like, yeah.
Keep in mind, this is a laser that at one point, when it goes off poorly, which burns half of one man's face, leading him to say, hold, please. Hold, please. Oh, God, why isn't this? Where is it? Where is it? What did I... Oh, guys, this happened. Hold on.
Mark this. We'll edit it all out.
We have no right to temper with the universe! Worth it? Worth it? I think so.
And by the way...
His face is burned. We have no right to tamper with the universe.
And Leon Thompson and Howard run into the room he just came out of.
Everybody, it's evacuating because the thing is burning people's faces. And they're like, we gotta get in there.
I want to get a lady's perspective. Ma'am, what is your question?
Hi, my name's Denise. I have two things. One, can we discuss why this movie is rated PG?
Yes. Big question.
First one. And then the second thing is apparently the director and producer married. Mm-hmm. They conceptualized this idea and they originally wanted to shoot it in Hawaii just because they thought it would be a fun place to shoot.
Yes.
Yeah, I read that.
And they went to Hawaii and didn't read any reviews as soon as it came out.
They made a bad choice. Like, to start off, let's just shoot in Hawaii, it'll be fun. It's a bad choice.
Work backwards from there.
Unless you just created Magnum P.I., that should not be how you operate.
Again, this is a Marvel comic book that takes place in Cleveland, so it's a very big throwing out everything to say, let's put it in Hawaii.
What I read on the Wikipedia is that they went to film school with George Lucas, and yes. George Lucas brought it to them, he brought the comic book to them, like, what do you think? And then Paul explained that they had to shoot it live action, all this stuff. So they kind of got pulled into this, but also they really fucked it up.
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone know if they're still married? They are. Okay, good. Well,
are
love
they
rules
here?
All. I was hoping them or the guy who was in the midget costume. Not the midget costume, the duck costume.
Did anybody else think, oh wait, this is a comedy nerd insider weird thing. When Howard the Duck lands on Earth, he goes into a club where Leah Thompson's Gem and the Holograms band is playing, and the doorman looks exactly like Paul Rust.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yes.
All right, good. Thank you.
All right, you're
for 1 second.
Yes.
I was like, oh, Paul Rust is in this.
Too.
No, that's impossible.
I said it out loud.
But then I started to think maybe Paul Rust is ageless and he's been acting for a long time.
Okay, that does bring up something. A really common rumor is that he is a Highlander.
We'll get into that on next episode. Your question right here.
It's an explanation.
Okay. Oh, great.
Or no, I need you guys.
Oh, okay, bad.
So it's an explanation, Hope.
Yes.
Also known as a question.
Very good.
Yeah! So fuck you! So fuck you, dummy!
All right, go ahead with your explanation, Hope. Here we go.
This better be awesome.
Oh, God. All this stuff has happened, and he says, I need this, like I need another tail.
And?
No, no, what that means.
Well, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that that's probably the least offensive thing that he says. Like, I would be like, I need that, like I need another hand, or I need another head, right?
Or, like, I need a hole in the head, I guess.
Yeah, a hole in the head.
Although,
he's just saying...
Although, one thing I will say about their tails is I did think it was interesting that they're... that in... on the duck planet, their costumes or their
They're clothes. Clothes.
They're wardrobe.
They're clothes. Yeah. Wardrobe does not give
their
them their outfits.
Their everyday civilian clothes has a hole cut in the pants for their the tail.
As do all of the clothes he has on Earth.
So well, either, he's very good with a pair of scissors when he's shoplifting from the tiny tyke section of Goodwill. He said the tiny tykes.
Yeah. He also. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Yeah. Question here. Question. Where are some questions? Okay. Right here. Yeah. We haven't had anybody with a beard ask a question. Go ahead.
If these ducks lay eggs, why do they have breasts?
Good question.
That's a great explanation, Hope.
Are we sure?
Wait, what?
He was saying if the ducks lay eggs, why do they have breasts?
Well, ducks have breasts anyway. Duck breasts.
Wait. Someone is going to jump out of their seat over here. Hold on.
Why do they have nips is the question.
All right, here we go.
Only mammals have breasts with nipples for, you know.
Yeah, but say it slower, honey. Say it slower.
But then there's
I'm just
the platypus.
Sexually antagonize
you know,
everyone.
I think maybe the planet is so advanced that they come out of the egg and then they're like, I am still hungry for a good, you know, breast milk.
That's
they're
also
smarter. There is no talk and buy magazines.
There's no proof, by the way, that his planet they lay eggs. We have not seen anyone lay an egg.
Why would he freak out about the eggs?
I don't know.
Howard also does say that he went to med school and his parents wanted him to be a plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
Doing titty jobs, doing boob
jobs. Maybe that's how they get them.
Yeah,
well, you're off
it.
Mic. No one can hear you. Hold on. I gotta get back there. All right, your question.
Well, this was just a very weird throwaway line. When Jeffrey Jones has become irradiated and he's blowing up all the cars, because traffic is all backed up, and traffic is all backed up because the highway patrolmen are doing a routine smog check.
That is a great question. Something that I noticed as well, and I thought, oh, that's just something that happened in the 80s, right? Smog checks.
You're bringing that up like it's not totally normal, bro. I get stopped for routine smog check all the time.
One more question. Listen, you come here. You come closer. Here we go. All right. Here's your question. One more. This is our final question. It better be good.
Don't blow it.
Your name, your favorite Jason Statham movie, and your question. Go.
My name is David. My favorite Jason Statham movie is In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
All right, good. Good answer. Good answer. Terrible choice, but it is an answer. Uh-oh. He's pulling out his iPhone. Hey, he wrote it down.
Paul, get away from him.
His tongue is coming out of his mouth.
Paul.
No. Oh, God. Hey, there's no energy in my ass.
All right, if there is a George Washington duck on Howard's $1 bill and his apartment is decorated with those posters, then are we to believe that every duck has some sort of human analog on Earth? If that's true, then is there a Howard the human on the duck planet?
Whoa, that was an amazing question.
That goosebumps. I like actually that goosebumps.
Killing it.
If I had a prize, you would get it.
Killing it, bro. Hey,
that was amazing.
That's a question. That's how you do it.
That's how you do an explanation.
That's
Hope.
Yeah. That's how, yeah, that's Oof. Well done. And, for everybody at
yes.
home.
I would say
oh,
yes.
Oh, oh,
I would
say and that's, yes. And I wanted to, oh, there's one thing here. Sorry. Okay, the whole movie, you're right, has these things. It's like Breeders of the Lost Ark. You know, My Little Chickadee. But, okay, sorry, sure. But then on the wall, Flashdance.
Flashdance.
No, it's Splashdance.
Oh, it was?
Splashdance.
But still not a duck pun.
Splashdance.
It should have been like duck dance.
Sort of.
Splash?
It's like in the water.
Splash out.
I'll allow it.
Let us right. have I'll it, Paul. It.
You guys got it. You
I see
guys
where
got
you're,
it.
You're going, counselor, and I'll allow it.
Is there any way, do you have the DVD in there, and can we look for the moment when he tries to fly?
All right, I do have the DVD in here.
He's walking through the streets.
Okay.
He's just landed in Cleveland. It's after this.
Was that it?
Was that it?
That's not it.
Wait, so we found a shot where he flaps his arms, and that wasn't
that's not it? I'm telling you, that's not it.
There.
Wait.
I'm talking
to you. Oh!
the champion, my friend.
No. No. Have this man removed.
He just got high fives from everybody.
For those listening on the podcast, he got 1 million high fives.
I think it's after he comes out of the club and after the rape scene.
Oh, wait, that's... Okay.
I think it's when he's... It's a moment where he's walking alone.
With
and
her?
He's almost listless and he tries to fly.
Wait, he's list... He goes from listless to fly?
So, do you have the... Okay, I'll find this on my own time. I promise it's
No,
here.
No, no. We're going to take as
okay,
long as it...
Then,
oh, wait.
Here,
I bet
right
it's
here.
This. I bet it's this.
And
I bet
it's because he's shaking off the water. Water off a duck's back.
That's it, right?
That's not it.
No.
No.
That's not it. No.
Go back to when he first lands on
points.
Her. That's not it.
All right, we'll just fast forward to the
when
club.
He's on the streets.
By the way, she's
Wow, wow, wow. June did it. You did it. June was right. June was right. He did try to fly. Too bad we'll have to edit that out for the real show.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Obviously,
people stood up.
That was amazing, like, June. Well, you were right. That looked like a flight. That looked like flight. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but now it is time for a second opinion. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. I will say there is one similarity to these reviews, and I'll read it to you, and then I'll tell you. From S. Granger, writer and dad, he writes, I understand why someone who is looking for a great film would be disappointed. Howard the Duck is No Saving Private Ryan or English Patient.
I'm listening.
Thankfully, not all films are, because then we'd be really bored. What Howard the Duck is entertainment. It's a guy in a duck suit. It's pretty funny and refreshingly enjoyable. 5 stars. Now I'll go on to say, I read numerous reviews that slammed Saving Private Ryan and hoisted this up. I don't understand what the correlation is.
Bob Granger?
Saving Private Ryan.
No, written by Granger.
Oh, no, by other people.
Oh.
Multiple people said, yeah, it's still Saving Private Ryan, but... Or they, like, wait, why do we need to have...
They didn't come
like,
out at the same time, did they?
No!
Not at all, right?
Spielberg, but he's not involved
he's
in this.
He's not in this.
But that's why he's there.
I guess, yeah, okay. I guess. Here's another one from Kevin Pitchford. He goes,
KP!
I know a lot of people will think I'm crazy, but this
they
is
do,
my
Kevin.
Favorite George Lucas film. Maybe it was the fact that I gravitated towards of being a small person in a strange foreign world that is yet to understand that I related to my childhood. But the best movies are the ones where you watch them and the movie never changes, but as you watch it at a different age and different point in your life, you notice so much more.
Whoa.
I can't explain my fondness of Howard the Duck, but I love this movie. Some deep shit is going on over here. The rest are all very positive. There's a lot of people who love this movie. And it seems unironically. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, this movie is terrible.
Would you recommend anyone to watch it?
Nope.
I kind of wish it wasn't so long.
So long.
Yeah, I had to watch it in 2 nights. Like, I had to...
Take a break.
I had to take a break.
You have to take a knee in the middle of it.
It makes... The movie's...
Just like Jaden Smith in After Earth. Take a knee.
The movie, it just is bananas. It makes no sense. There is no, there. You're not doing anything. And the fact that it goes on for so long makes it like not enjoyable in the, this is stupid, right? It just is like, is this stupid thing still happening to me?
Yeah, I feel like they were tackling so much because it should have been an animated film. So I like that it's like, what? And we got, you know, that's cool. Yes. But at the same time, it's like, did they not have it in the system of Hollywood in 1986 where they would get Patton Oswalt in to punch up the script? I mean, why was it allowed to be so not funny all the time?
I think the issue was, there's two issues at play. Number one, Lucas was like, I made Star Wars, so this is going to be great. Like, and everyone's like, yeah. Now people are like, okay. Like, but like, this is a great story. They said the film was optioned by Universal. They lobbied so hard to get this because the head of the studio had passed on all these other George Lucas projects that had gone on to be hugely successful. So he's like, I'm going to get this one. This is the one I'm going to get. And he got it without even reading the script. And then he was promptly fired. But it seems to me like
you don't have to read the script. The title should give you enough.
I wanted a whole movie on the Duck Planet. The Duck Planet would be great, right?
Yeah, the Duck Planet was what I was excited about.
I would like the Duck Planet.
Also, Howard in the cartoon, like, or in the comic book, Howard, you know, had a real distinct personality. He was gruff. He was existential. He was cool. And then they wanted to make him likable in the movie, but they didn't quite do it. So he's just sort of like middle of the road. Everything's kind of like middle of the road.
Yeah.
And just perverted.
Pervertedness goes through this movie. That's the, if there's a through line, it's pervert.
Yeah.
Like, there is just a guy with big, chunky frames and a trench coat, like, going, yeah, more of this.
Yeah.
Like, he was the Patton Oswalt of his day. Like, yeah, and then his tongue comes out. And gets
so
really
you're
long.
Saying Patton is a real pervert?
I'm saying he was the equivalent of punching up the script, but they had a pervert, not Patton.
Wow.
Guys, you heard it here. Heard it here.
You're really taking Patton
to task.
Yeah, no, there is, like, well, the duck titties, which we talked about a lot, I did especially, happens within the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
it's a PG movie.
He opens, it's a PG movie.
Not 13.
He opens, the movie
and it's
opens.
It's PG because you see titties, but they're duck titties?
Yeah, yes. Duck titties.
And they're puppet titties.
Duck
like, you've never so seen real. Miss Piggy's titties, but according to the rating standards of this movie, you could.
Yeah.
In a way that is
sexualized because she's in a bath.
And you know she's what I mean? Singing like I'm in love.
Is that it?
No, she's like masturbating under those bubbles.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, but she's bit. Also singing.
Wait, did Danny Elfman do the music for this?
No.
Who did?
Oh, Thomas Dolby.
Thomas Dolby, that's right. Because everything sounded kind of Oingo Boingo-y, and I thought it might have been Danny Elfman.
Well, here's the best way to end. Any movie is great when it ends with a musical number, and here is just a bit of that musical number. Here we go. And I'm just pause it right there because basically this is the best ending of any movie. They've become hugely famous singing a song about their adventures. Jim Robbins, who was a scientist, is now like a stagehand, stage master. They have become, they're hugely famous. Howard the Duck is like a powerful manager in this world.
He is dressed like Don Johnson.
Yes. Everything has worked out for these people in the best of ways. And I think that, if you know, when you do that in a movie, hey, come on, you got to leave with a smile on your face.
or hate in your heart.
And then the end of the movie is basically Leah Thompson and him kind of huddle off to the side of the stage and go like, hey, we did it.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. Let's make duck babies.
Like, let's make a hybrid form of life.
And that was Tobey Maguire.
Ooh.
And that's what happened at Largo. A big thanks to Kristen Schaal. She was amazing. So good. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Scheer. You can follow June at Miss June Diane. Jason is not on Twitter. And for those of you that have been reading Aliens vs. Parker, a brand new issue is coming out July 3rd. Definitely check that out. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The Wolf Dead.
Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer.
And I'm Amy Nicholson.
And we have a brand new podcast called Unspooled, where we are watching the 100 greatest films of all time.
Voted on by the AFI. We're going to be starting at number one, Citizen Kane, jumping to number 100 with Ben-Hur, and doing films that we've never even watched before.
And we'll be talking to experts, whether it's a cinematographer or a stuntman. We're going to get behind these movies and figure out what makes them so great. So if you like the way this sounds, why don't you subscribe right now to Unspooled, wherever you listen to your podcasts.